And I want to share that with you this morning as well, and also in line with what we're getting ready to do this week in Vacation Bible School and reaching out to our community. Matthew 28, listen to what Jesus says. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. I love that last part. I love what it says when Jesus reminds you and me that he's always going to be with us until the end of the world. Now, I don't have to tell you what things look like and how the climate of our world looks like, how the climate of our world, our United States. You look and you see scandal after scandal and bad news after bad news and corruption everywhere. But folks, you and I need to remember a number of things. We need to remember them seriously as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. First and foremost, if you'll follow your outline and get it out and follow along, you and I need to remember the good news. There is one who has all the authority in heaven and earth, and his name is Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but that's enough for me. I could say a prayer and we could go home, because when you realize there is nobody in this world that has authority but Jesus. When you look at this passage of Scripture, you know, you wonder what is going on. You look at things that are going on around you and you see all the things that are taking place, and you look at so much problem, you think, is anybody in control of this? Is anybody really in control of the world? Well, Jesus knew we was going to say that. He knew that was going to be a question that was going to be asked from time to time. And that's why Jesus told his disciples, he said, I want you to remember that there is authority and that there is the authority, and my authority is a given authority. What Jesus basically is saying is God the Father has had all authority for all eternity, but he has given unto me all authority. And when you stop and think about it, when you stop and realize there is one who has all authority, Jesus made one thing unmistakably clear. He said, all power is given unto me. No one has authority in this world but the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Satan is the prince and the power of the air. That's what the Bible says. But Jesus didn't say he had a little power. Jesus didn't talk about himself and said, you know, I've got a little power and I can help people a little bit. You know, sometimes that's really the way we act toward Jesus. Like, he can help us a little bit. He can help us do a few things. But you need to go through Scripture and listen to what Jesus did and what he said and how people responded, how demons even responded to Jesus. I want you to listen to, you know, one particular passage of Scripture. It's found in the book of Luke. And Luke chapter 8, verse 28. When he saw an unclean spirit, a demon, this is the reference, Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him. Talking about the demon, unclean spirit falling down before Jesus with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God, Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not. Scripture makes it very clear that there is good news, and that good news is all the news we need today, and that news is this. Our Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ, has all authority in heaven and in earth. He said to you and to me, he said to the first disciples, he said, I want you to know, no matter how bad things may become, no matter how catastrophic things may be, no matter how difficult the world may look, he said, I want you to go back and remember one sobering truth. That sobering truth is this: I am Jesus Christ, I have all authority. In other words, he's not saying I have all the authority on the earth. All authority, all power, all energy, all time, all of everything exists under the presence of Jesus Christ. And when you stop and look at Scripture, Jesus' power isn't based on the world. It's not based on the world system. It's not based on the happenings that's going on. Jesus made it very clear, my power is given to me. The Father has given to me all power. Why would demons be scared of Jesus Christ? Because they know that he is going to torment them and he's going to send them to torment. I'll share that in just a little bit. You read in the book of James, the Bible says, even demons believe in him and they tremble. And the reality of it is Satan is doing everything he can in the world you and I live in that, you know, our faith, our confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ, we're believing in someone who don't have much power and who don't have much energy and he can't change many lives. That is a lie straight out of hell. Jesus said, I have all power in heaven and in earth. And you're going to find out one of these days. Let me tell you something that's getting ready to happen. Don't know when it will happen. The Bible doesn't tell you when it will happen, but it is going to happen. We're going to be raptured. We're going to be taken up. And after that, all of heaven is going to break loose in divine wrath upon this earth. Why? Because our God is in control. Amen? We serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he's living no matter what anybody may say. And Jesus said to the disciples, I'm going to be going away, but I want you to never forget this. I don't want you to ever forget that I have all power. What that means is this. He didn't just have all power back then 2,000 years ago. The Jesus I serve has all power right now in 2013. Amen? I like that because I need a Savior with power. I need a Savior with strength and energy and might. And Jesus told his disciples, you're going to face some very critical times. You're going to face some unbelievable times. And they did. There was persecution. There was martyrdom. There was all sorts of things going on in their life and their time. And you know, it may look at the present time in the world that you and I are living in, that Satan is winning. It may look that way. It may appear that Satan is going to win out. But there's only one problem with that. That's not the truth. You see, sometimes I like to watch a pre-recorded game in which my team comes close to losing, but they win at the end. There was a game some years ago that my team played in, and they was down at the half by 31 points. Do you ever feel like you're down at the half? You ever feel like you're defeated and it don't seem like there's going to be any victory in your life? We all feel that way from time to time. And I sat up and I was so frustrated at my team, and I'll just call it my team. You know what team my team is, but anyway, I sat there frustrated, irritated, agitated, angered. Isn't it amazing how we can get at a little ball game? And I think really the Lord wanted me to sit there and learn a powerful truth. Things aren't always as they appear. Amen? You see, if Satan had his way, he would have kept Jesus in the grave. If Satan could have had his way, he could have had all the demons to compress him and keep him in the ground. But that's not who we have. We have a risen Savior. And when I started watching that game and saw that team come back, here's what I did. I replayed that game and watched it. And you know what I said to myself as I watched the replay? My team's not going to lose. My team is going to win. You're not going to lose, folks. You are the sons and daughters of the authority of the universe. Your Father runs the world. Your Savior is the risen Christ. And he says, I have all authority in my hand. Don't you ever be afraid. Don't you ever be dismayed. I am the Lord your God. And that's what we need to be reminded. That's the good news that God's given to the church. Listen, God's not giving that to the world. The world don't have confidence you've got. The world don't believe that. That's why God has given us to the world. And the second good news is this. And by the way, let me say this before I get to the second point. When you read Revelation 19:11, listen to what happens. John is saying, I saw heaven open, behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him called faithful and true in righteousness. He doth judge and make war. You know why it says that? Because that's exactly what the authority of the universe is going to do to wickedness someday. Someday, Jesus Christ is going to right every wrong. Someday Jesus Christ is going to let it be seen and known He is the authority of the universe. Someday everyone is going to find out, because the Bible says every knee shall bow, heaven above, earth and under the earth, that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That's the Savior you and I have. That's the good news we have in a troubling world. Our good news is not just some passing fancy. It's not something that's going to go away. You know what? As you live your life and walk with the Lord, aren't you glad Jesus don't change? He's the same yesterday, today, forever. He's going to love you no matter what you do. He's going to care for you no matter what happens in your life. He's going to direct you. You know, sometimes the world overwhelms you. And sometimes in my prayer life, I just say, Father, I just sort of feel evil around me. And I just, listen, if you don't feel evil around you, something's wrong with your sensitivity. And I say, Father, you arm me with your helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the loins of truth, the shoes of the gospel of peace, the sword of the Spirit, and the shield of faith. And I claim victory today because of who I am in Christ. And sometimes I just like to be reminded, my dad is running the world. Amen? My dad is running this thing. My Father in heaven is. And listen, it's a good news that He's given to you and me. Jesus said, don't you forget it, disciples. Don't you forget it, church. Don't you forget that our good news is not something. Our good news is a person. Why do you and I need to be mindful of that? Because God gave the good news Himself, Jesus Christ, not for you to keep. Now keep in mind, Jesus is getting ready to go back to heaven. He's getting ready to leave. These disciples were going to be dispersed to the ends of the earth so they could bear witness of Jesus and they could see lives change. Mary Magdalene, who had those seven spirits, others who were demon-possessed. If you'll ever watch Jesus in the New Testament, you'll find that He dealt with demon-possessed people a lot. The man of the Gadarenes. Why? Because the reality is there's a world of demonic presence in the world you and I live in. Listen, not everybody, that's the only thing that makes sense sometimes. But the good news is there's hope for man that's trapped in his sins. You know, we live in a world where people are trapped in a life of sin. What do I mean by trapped? They can't get out by themselves. Now, I want you to listen to me very carefully. It's important you hear this. Why don't they break loose? Why don't they quit? Because they can't without the church. Why do you think we're here on planet Earth? Why do you think we are the church of the Lord Jesus Christ? Because we're the ones to bear witness of Jesus Christ and His redemption. That's why we're doing what we're doing this week. Why? So young boys and young girls can come to faith in Jesus Christ, because a soul is important to the Lord God. Do you know that Jesus said one soul is more important than the entire world? Did you know that? Matthew and Mark. What doth it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? One soul is more important than the whole world in the sight of God. And you see, the truth about it is, you know, you and I know that without the resurrection, there would be no hope, there'd be nothing, there'd be, and in order that we can avoid the wrath of God, I don't know about you, but I'm so glad that I'm not going to come under the wrath of God when God gets ready to bring it on this earth. Aren't you glad of that? Amen. His wrath is coming, folks. You read Revelation chapter 4 through 19, and you find out the bowls of judgment, of wrath, of destruction that are coming, that have not yet happened. They're getting ready to come. And they're going to come when we, the church, are gone. So how do you know that? Because it's right in the Word. 1 Corinthians, and 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, and so many other, Gospel of John. But Jesus said, I want you to remember this. You're to go make disciples. Listen to what Jesus said to that first generation. Now, first generation, you and I weren't even thought of then. We were 2,000 years later. Jesus gave the disciples this directive, this command. You go make, say the next word, disciples. If you'll ever watch Jesus very carefully, here's what he did and what he said. Go evangelize. You say, well, Pastor, I'm not an evangelist. Let me tell you what the word evangelize means. Telling the good news of what's happened on the inside of you to somebody else. Telling the good news of Jesus Christ's salvation, his redemption, his forgiveness to somebody else. Listen, I say this to every husband, every wife, every young person. Husbands, you ought to be able to share the plan of salvation if your wife is lost. Wives, you ought to be able to share the plan of salvation with your husband, because I'm telling you this, the clock is ticking. And with every passing day, we're getting closer to the end of our life. We're getting closer to the rapture. We're getting closer to the wrath of God. And that's why you need to be able to share the plan of salvation. Jesus told them to go evangelize. Well, what if I tell people and they don't listen? You've done your part. I can't tell you how many times I preached. And I thought, surely, Lord, someone will come to faith in Christ. But you know what? At the end of the day, I did my part. Have you done your part? Can you imagine where you and I would not be had it not been for those first century disciples and those apostles who, it didn't matter if it was comfortable or not comfortable. I want you to listen to me real carefully, and I don't want to hurt your feelings, but sometimes comfort is killing us. We want to be comfortable. We want to be comfortable. We want to have creature comforts, and there's nothing wrong, but don't ever let them possess you. We wouldn't be here if it wasn't for one of the disciples who came to through his descendancy, came to the European countries, and from them came to the United States. You and I wouldn't be sitting here if it wasn't for the apostles and if it wasn't for the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, first of all, go and evangelize. And then, second, Jesus said, told them to baptize, make disciples, baptize. In other words, we're to do as Jesus did. I'm not going to ask you to answer this question because you may think I'm setting you up. Do you want to be like Jesus? Do you, man of God, woman of God, young person of God, do you want to be like Jesus? Do you know what Jesus did? Whenever there was a person who had sensitivity to the truth, to the gospel. Now, this is going to be rocket science. He attached himself to them. Do you watch what he did with 11 disciples for 3 years? He attached himself to those 11. And as he attached themselves, he trained them, he taught them, he loved them, he listened to them. And I'm sure he laughed at them sometimes too. You know why? Because it was important that they learn and grow and they be prepared for the time he leaves. Now I want you to listen to me real carefully. Some of us that are older Christians, our time of departure may not be too far off. We're all going to depart. We're all terminal. Our term is just different. But the issue is, how serious am I going to take my walk with the Lord Jesus? Do I really want to be like him, or do I just want to talk the talk? And you see, you know, this week I want to challenge everyone, because we're the church. We're the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to step up and become attached to these little fellows who come to church. You know, they'll walk in the door and they'll know this is the church, and they'll know, they'll come right in and they'll sit down and they'll stay seated. No one will have to say a word to them until it's time to get up. And they'll march out right to their classes and they'll listen to everything we say this week, won't they? No. But I want you to listen to me real carefully. They are not little people. They are an eternal soul. They're going to live forever somewhere. They're going to either live with God in heaven or they're going to reject. And we have opportunity. That's our calling, to get beside them, to encourage them, to love on them. They might not listen to you. Now listen to me real carefully. Do you think the disciples listened to Jesus? Do you think he ever had to retell them and then retell them again, and then retell them another time. Listen, that's our calling. We are the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, are we not? Amen. What are we to be about? Jesus said, I'm to be about my Father's business. If you take your calling with God seriously, you want to be about your Father's business. Amen. Did you hear how loud you was? Better still, how soft you was. The reality of it is, Jesus told the disciples, in essence, you're the only plan I've got. If you fail, there's nobody else. Now get the picture. First century Christianity, if those 11 men fail, it's all over. There's no more Christianity. Are they going to live and walk with the Lord, or are they going not to? The reality is, the good news in the troubling time, it's man's trapped in sin, and you and I have the good news. You know, this only isn't a message. Church family, this is a challenge. Because let me ask you a few questions. Don't you and I see ungodliness rising more and more and more all around us? Amen. Children becoming more and more rebellious and disobedient. Ours is to bear the good news. And lastly, there's a way out of sin and bondage, but the only way is through Jesus. Folks, we've got to be reminded, it's not methods. There's only one way. It's through Jesus Christ. Amen? There's no way coming to the Father but through Jesus Christ. And here's what I want you to understand. All that we do as a church ought to be out of the overflow that we've been changed by the grace of God. Because in the end, the only thing that will matter are men and women, boys and girls, have they come to faith in Jesus Christ? You know, one of the verses that's so sobering is Romans chapter 3, verse 11. I want you to listen to it. Because the Bible says man will never seek after God. You say, well, I know some people that are seeking after God, that if you do, then you've got to tell God he's got to rewrite this scripture. Because the Bible says nobody seeks after God. Listen to Romans chapter 3, verse 11. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. Did you hear those words? First words, none understand. These little boys and girls who will come this week, wonder what type of home life they'll come from. Drugs, other things, imprisoned to a dad who's abusive, a mom who's abusive. You don't choose where you're born, do you? You can't choose where you're born. And these little lives come into this fellowship, and they don't understand. They don't understand that they're trapped in sin. I didn't understand it as a 7-year-old boy. I was trapped in sin. I didn't understand that until I was taught. I couldn't get out of sin by myself. These young lives don't understand. You didn't understand until someone taught you. Because the Bible says nobody understands. Nobody seeks after God. And that's why we do everything we can in this week of Vacation Bible School. Because some of you are trapped in your sin. Some of you, you're in bondage to sin, and you say, well, I'm doing the best I can, Pastor, to try to get out. I'm here to tell you, you'll never get out of sin. You'll never get out of the bondage of sin until you realize you can't get out without Jesus Christ, who is all authority in heaven and earth. Amen? Listen, all authority, Jesus said, is given unto me in heaven and earth. I am the only one that can get you out of the bondage of sin. He's the only one that can liberate you from the life of sin. You know, why do we do all that we do? Why do we teach? Why do we preach? Because there's one thing that's a given. Every person is an eternal soul. Notice what I did not say. I did not say you have an eternal soul. You are an eternal soul. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says God breathed into man the breath of life and he became a spirit. You know, in the sight of God, one soul is more important. Can you imagine what that man of the Gadarenes must have felt like? Screaming in the tombs. I've tried to imagine that. Here he is, and they'd put chains on him, and he'd break the chains. And then that one day in his life that changed the rest of his life when he came to Jesus Christ. May have been as close to here from me to Josh. And he just cried out for mercy. Now think about it. He didn't want to live that way, but he was possessed. He couldn't change his life. And I'm here to tell you, you can't change your life either. You know all that Jesus did? Spoke. Do you remember that day you confessed your sin before Jesus Christ and you invited Christ to come into your heart and to be your Lord and Savior? You remember that day when you were forever changed? I remember that. I didn't know much of the Bible. My dad was the pastor, so I slept through a lot of messages. I know you don't. But I knew this. I knew as a young boy, I knew I couldn't change my life. And I knew the only one that could was Jesus Christ. That's why we do what we do. That's why we are what we are. We're not all about programs. We're not all about stuff. Ours is to be all about Jesus. Amen? Jesus said, if I be lifted up, you leave the drawing to me. I'll draw. And the man of the Gadarenes, he came to Jesus and asked for some, just simply mercy. And he was freed. He was liberated. You know, the good news in troubling time is this. It's going to pass. I don't know about you. I really think that we're not far from the rapture of the church. Well, you say, Pastor, don't some things have to happen before the rapture of the church? Don't you think there's got to be some fulfillment of prophecy before the rapture of the church? I want you to listen to me real carefully and real closely because I've studied it and continually studying it. Absolutely not. Do you know there's not one thing that has to happen before the rapture of the church? That's why we need to be sharing the good news. That's why we need to be telling the good news. That's why we need to be promoting and encouraging people for vacation Bible school, small group Bible study, whatever it is. Because the truth about it is, there's only one who can change lives. You know, Jesus said, you go, make disciples. Go into all the world. And I love the last part. Baptizing them, teaching them to observe. And it's as though he says, don't forget, I'm going to be right there with you. Now this sort of gives me chills. Every night, every click of the tick of the clock tonight, tomorrow night, Wednesday, Thursday, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is going to be right here in our midst. He's going to be with our teachers. He's going to be with our workers. He's going to be touching and convicting lives of their sin. He's going to be wooing and working. And my prayer is that lives will be added to the kingdom this week. Listen, I remember when I was saved. I didn't know how many other people got saved, but I knew this. I was saved. And I can tell you this. There's a lot of other things I've accomplished in life and been able to do. There is nothing like that day of salvation. That is the paramount of your life and will always be the paramount of your life. Amen? Because that's all that matters in time and eternity. Friend, you're here today and you don't know what it is to be forgiven of your sins. I'm here to tell you this. You will live forever in one of two places. You'll live forever in heaven, based on accepting and confessing your sin, inviting Christ into your heart, or you'll live forever in hell. You don't have to do anything to go to hell. You just have to simply keep rejecting the message of Jesus Christ, the love of God, the wooing of the Holy Spirit. And I'm just going to tell you very matter of fact, someday you'll breathe your last breath, you will die, and you'll awaken, and you'll know there's a hell. You'll know because you're there. You'll listen to screams throughout all of eternity. You'll see things that you never dreamed you would see. You'll be in a place that Jesus described when he mentioned to Judas. He said it had been better that he had never been born than to do what he did. You'll be in a place of outer darkness. You'll be in a pit that's designed just for you. You'll be there. Why will you be there? That's the price it will take for you to pay for your sins against a holy God. And you'll be there forever. You're never going to get out. You're never going to have another opportunity to come back to earth. You're going to be in and live forever in hell. Not only that, but you're going to have the company of demons and devil and all the most wicked host. You may even see some friends there, but you won't enjoy it. There's screaming and there's torture. Isn't it amazing? We've become so comfort-oriented that we don't like to hear about hell, do we? It's always been since the fall of Satan. It is a real place. Amen? And I just have to love you enough to tell you the truth. If you reject Jesus, that's your home after this life is over. That's where you're going to live forever. God don't want that. That's why you hear a message, and that's why you hear warning. But you know what? I can give you all the warnings. You've got to decide. Am I going to listen? Am I going to listen to the truth? Am I going to repent of my sin? You don't have to accept Jesus. You don't have to turn to Him. You can live for yourself all you want to. But I'm just here to tell you, that's your next home. If you reject Christ, that simply is the way it is. And Jesus said, and He wants you to know this, if you go there, He wants you to know, it's better. What does it profit if you gain the whole world? Gaining all the world is not even compared to losing your soul. You can't even compare it. Imagine if everybody laid everything at your feet. All the power was laid at your feet. All the prestige was laid at your feet. All the money, all that was on this earth was laid at your feet. Jesus said, that don't compare to losing your soul. That's why we must teach. That's why we've got to impact lives with the gospel. That's why we've got to tell these kids. That's why we've got to live our lives drawing people to faith in Christ. Father, we thank You so much for Your word. We thank You so much for telling us and teaching us the truth of Your word. And I pray, Father, this morning for that man, that woman who's here this morning that doesn't have a relationship with God through Christ. They don't know what it is to be forgiven. They don't know what it is to have their sins forgiven, washed away by the blood of Christ. And Lord, I pray for them. Pray they would come right now. Lord, I lift them to You. Lord, have Your will and Your way. In Jesus I pray. Amen. As we stand.